Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for being with us today. We'll be here for the full hour, and appreciate whatever time you can spend with us. We're here Monday through Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on 800 a.m. and over the internet at inhissign.com. Just a reminder, coming up on October the 10th will be our annual golf outing. And we'll be back at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. We're excited for this year's event and look forward to having another wonderful outing and sharing in some great golf moments. Please email praise@inhissign.com. That's praise@inhissign.com to reserve your spot in the golf tournament. If you're unable to golf, please consider sponsoring a priest or donating a prize for the silent auction. For additional information as well as sponsorship opportunities, please visit our website at inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll see a link there to download the brochure with all the information. Or give Maureen a call here at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Thank you for your continued support of In His Sign Catholic Radio. And that brings us to our guest today. We are joined by Father Slomir Skretka. And Father, I just had, is a native of Poland, is a priest of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. He holds a master's degree, two of them, one in philosophy and theology, and doctorates in sacred scripture and religious studies. Since 2015, he's been a member of the priestly formation faculty at St. John's Seminary in Camarillo, California. Currently, he serves there as an associate professor of biblical studies, the Director of Human Formation, and the Vice Rector. His teaching, publications, and retreat talks concentrate on the New Testament. He's also written a book called Sinners and Sinfulness in Luke. But today we're going to talk about his latest book, Icon of Trust, Mary in the Gospels of Luke and John, published by Sophia Institute. Welcome to the show, Father. It's great to have you with us.
Hello, and thank you for having me, and greetings to all your listeners.
And we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, the Blessed Mother. And Father and I had an opportunity to actually chat last week. And I've been doing these interviews, Father, for probably 6 years now. And maybe a handful of times have I had an opportunity to talk to my guest prior to them actually coming on the air. So our conversation last week was a blessed one, and I certainly appreciate it. And look forward to talking to you about the book today. So just to get things rolling, what was the impetus? What was the thought process behind writing a book about our Blessed Mother?
Well, as as you mentioned to at the beginning, you know, I teach sacred scripture here at the seminary. So on the one hand, I'm drawn to the scripture and what the scripture is saying, and on the other hand, the Blessed Mother has played such a big role in my faith and my journey of faith. So just for those two things to come together was a great blessing, because growing up with the devotion to our Blessed Mother and finally being able as a professor of scripture to confront my faith, my practices, my beliefs with what the scripture is saying, that was very enriching for me, and I hope to share those riches with the readers as well. So the book Icon of Trust comes basically from that intersection of my personal devotion and my academic interests in the Gospels, particularly Luke and John.
Yeah, and it, you know, as I'm sure you're aware of this, and maybe most of our listeners too, but with whenever we read Scripture, and I know this is even in my own life, that it every time you read the same verse, the verse doesn't change, but the meaning it may have in our lives, depending on our own experience since the last time we've heard it, or just the Holy Spirit's inspiration, will change the meaning of some of those verses in our own lives. And I have to say that in reading through the book, and for our listeners, this is it's a great little book. It's not a tome or, you know, a doctorate dissertation or something along those lines. It's roughly 100 pages, and really goes through the scriptures that refer to Mary in both Luke's gospel and John's gospel. And just in the time that I had to spend with the book father, there were things that jumped out at me that I had never realized before. And I'm sure for our listeners, no matter how long you've had a devotion to the Blessed Mother, if you pick up this book, you'll get insights like I did, and especially when it comes to this area of trust.
Well, can you share something about what jumped at you when you read through it?
Yeah, so there was a line on, I believe it's on page 30, where it says, the most astonishing characteristic of her trustful faith is her readiness to be surprised by God. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of us that I hang out with that are in recovery, and we throw this phrase around, is that odd or is that God? And even though my walk through life today, I know that God intersects it all the time. He's always either putting people in front of me or bringing up ideas and what have you, that I know I may not realize it in that moment, but I realize later on that it was God. And so a lot of times it's in the routine things, and every once in a while there'll be that surprise, something that comes out of left field that you never would have expected. It could be somebody that I meet that has a huge impact on my life. And so where events happen, a lot of our listeners, and I think even when we talked last week, I let you know that my mother just passed, and we knew that she didn't have long for this world, but didn't think it was going to come quite as quick as it did. And so these surprises are sometimes things that we don't always look forward to or we don't expect. And when they happen, especially if you're a person of faith and you look at it, they can be pretty cool when you realize that God's behind them.
Mm-hmm. And yes, you know, Ken, thank you for sharing that. And you know, right before you said that, you also said that it's a short book. It is, and in a way, it says the things that we already know. But it's exactly when we approach the scripture and we seem to know everything about the scripture, but we give ourselves to it and meditate on it and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, then the scripture surprises us. You know, we're pulling things old and new from it. They jump at us. They touch us. The scripture is the same, but how we receive it, what it reveals to us, is always new. And, of course, as you said, it's both scripture when it speaks to us and the events of our life. But I think once we are at home with the sacred scripture, we have better ways of detecting God's work in our lives. And I would argue that the more we are friends with our Blessed Mother, she will teach us how to detect those surprising moments of God's activity, those hidden graces in our lives that otherwise can just pass by unnoticed.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And the other thing that struck me is the timing of the book. So we're living in a world now where a lot of people don't trust anybody. Maybe their family and a close circle of friends, but there's this huge lack of trust. And part of it may be political. Part of it may be having family members that, especially in the circles I travel in, with people that struggle with alcohol or drugs, and come from families where there wasn't a whole lot of trust. And it can be really hard sometimes to trust anyone, and even to trust God. Especially if your life hasn't been everything that you thought it should be, and maybe you blame God for some of the things that have happened in your life. And so I think especially in this time, it's more important than ever that we be able to develop that trust in God. And what better example of that trust than the Blessed Mother herself?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. You brought up a great point that the issues of trust, it's not just with God, but with other people in our families, in our societies. And one way to heal this world, and one way to heal the relationships throughout our communities, is to grow in trust in God. Because if we can trust Him, we'll also trust the ways through which He works in others, in other people's lives. There's a connection there that you just named between our trust in God and then trust in general as our attitude as we approach life and other people and other relationships. And with Mary, today is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, so I think it's very significant that we are talking about Mary today, because she had to learn how to trust God. And the climax of that learning experience was the moment of the crucifixion, where she was standing by the cross, perhaps not understanding completely what was happening and why it was happening, but still deeply trusting that God knows what He is doing, that that her son knows what He is doing, and just agreeing to it and awaiting the fruit, awaiting the fulfillment of God's promises. St. John Paul II, in his encyclical on the Blessed Mother, describes that moment of crucifixion as probably the most difficult moment of faith for Mary, because she had to believe in darkness, in complete darkness. It was so difficult, John Paul II says, for her to grasp the meaning of what was happening. And he, John Paul II, calls it the kenosis of faith, or emptying of faith. That word kenosis is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, where he speaks of Christ emptying himself out of love for us. And that's kenosis in Greek, self-emptying. And Mary now is emptied of those human means of understanding what's going on, and she has to just hold on to God's promises, not humanly knowing how they will come about, but knowing that they will, and just trusting, and just being there and trusting. So her faith was not an easy journey. Mm-hmm. Her faith and her ability to trust God is so profound, as we see it in the Gospels. And at the same time, at that very moment of the crucifixion, she is given to us, to you, to me, to us Catholics and Christians, as our mother, because it's exactly at that key moment that Jesus says, behold your mother, behold your son, your child, and we take her into our own, so we can, in communion of life with her, try to trust God the way she did.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And just a reminder for our listeners, our guest today is Father Slomir Skreka, and we're talking about his book, Icon of Trust, Mary in the Gospels of Luke and John, published by Sophia Institute. And interesting, in talking about the crucifixion, one of the other things that came to me in the book that I hadn't thought about previously was when Jesus went missing when he was 12 years old. And he goes missing for 3 days, and then the 3 days of the Passion of our Lord, and how God in his infinite wisdom, you know, kind of prepared Mary for those 3 days. And I think in our own lives, when tragic events happen, things happen in our own lives, if we look back, whether it was a week before, a month before, and in some cases years before, especially in Mary's case, 33 years apparently, that, or I guess 21 years, 33 minus 12, that God actually prepared Mary for this. And I had it wasn't directly in my own life, but I had a good friend of mine, and I don't think he'd mind that I share the story.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, we were on retreat together, and I had asked him to join me for an event at the retreat, and he begged off and was going to go and off and do something on his own. And 5 days after that retreat, his six-year-old son was killed in a tragic accident. And he and I would get together on Wednesday nights of all nights, and they'd usually get together. I'd bring dinner, and the two of us would sit and chat, or sometimes just stare at each other. And probably a month or two after Kevin passed, we were sitting at the table, and he says to me, "Remember when we were on that retreat, and you asked me to go with you, and I said, now I'll go do my own thing." And I said, "Yeah, I remember." He goes, "I went," and I get God bumps thinking about it. He went he goes, "I went and sat over by the Pietà." So, of course, it's the sculpture of the Blessed Mother with her dead son in her lap. And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "You know, when I got to the hospital after Kevin passed, and they brought him out and they laid him in Denise's lap, that's all I could picture was the Pietà." And I got the God bumps there, and every time I relate, you know, I've related that story a few times. When I do, I just, God prepared him for that moment. You know, I don't know what I would have been like. I know it wouldn't have been a solemn moment for me. I probably would have gone crazy. But when he relayed that to me, and it was, well, it was just 5 days before, and he was able to, he may not have realized it in that moment, but made that connection soon after. And I just thought, how powerful is that? The God, even though he knew that this, perhaps that this tragedy was going to occur, that he gave him the grace to recognize that he had someone already in place for him, the Blessed Mother, who experienced the exact same thing, the death of her son, and how God provided her for him as his spiritual mother to go to her and look for comfort, knowing that she had the exact same experience that he did. I thought it was awesome.
It's a powerful story, but yeah, it describes the way God works, the way God worked in the life of Mary, and now the way he works through her in our lives. And as painful as those experiences are, that, you know, like the experience of your friend, there's something about going and thinking, going through those experiences with Mary, and then reflecting on them with Mary, because there's no one like her to speak tenderly to our hearts and to embrace us and to say, you know, it's difficult, but don't worry, do not be afraid, everything will be fine. You know, I'm very much in love with Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now that I work in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, we have her images here, and of course her story of the story of her apparitions is very well known. But I'm especially touched by her words to Saint Juan Diego on the last day of the apparitions, where he is all afraid and anxious and worried, and because his uncle is sick and he needs to get a priest for his uncle, and he doesn't want to be detained by our Blessed Mother, so he takes another path to avoid her, and there she meets him, and she says, "Do not fear the sickness of your uncle or any other sickness, nor anything that is sharp or hurtful. Am I not here, I who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Are you not in the hollow of my mantle and the crossing of my arms? Do you need anything more?" You know, those words, they're so simple and so profound, but there are moments in our life when they speak directly to us in such a unique way that we know exactly what they mean. We need to hear them at those moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. So in the development of the book, Father, it's basically divided into three parts. And the first one being Mary, the one who trusts God. And, you know, what comes to me is you talk about the parallels here between Zechariah and Mary, the one who trusts and one who didn't trust as much, or maybe not at all. And in doing so, how much Mary trusted God came through to me and revealed to me, you know, sometimes how much I don't trust. And so maybe you could, for our audience, maybe develop that a little bit. We don't mm-hmm. want to give the whole thing away. We want people to go out and purchase the book. But you know how you came to that.
Sure, I'll be very happy to unpack it a little bit. It's true that when the Gospel of Luke begins, it begins with the Annunciation. We have the Annunciation to Mary. The Archangel Gabriel comes to her and announces that she will be the mother of the Son of God. But before that Annunciation, we have another Annunciation, when the birth of John the Baptist is announced to Zechariah. And the reactions of those two characters are completely opposed to one another, because Mary at the end will say, "Let it be done to me according to your word, I am the servant of the Lord." And then later, Saint Elizabeth, when Mary comes to visit Elizabeth shouts out, "Blessed are you among women, because you have believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." Mary is recognized as a believer. You believed. And Zechariah, it's a very similar story. He is told that he will have a son, but he cannot bring himself to believe in that plan of God. He says, "I'm old, my wife is old, how can this happen? How will I know that it will happen?" He wants proofs. The angel tells him, "You will be mute, you will not be able to speak because you did not believe." And here we see the key difference between the two. We can be confronted with a sign from God, with a message from God, and then we can be like Zechariah, who seemed, you know, perfectly suitable to respond well to God. He's a priest, he's in the temple, he's been praying, and yet he fails to bring himself to trust God, to trust God's plan. Mary, on the other hand, confronted with a much more surprising plan, to be a virgin mother of God. Of course, she has questions. She wants to find out, how will this happen, since she doesn't know man. And yet, at the end, she agrees. She says yes. So right from the beginning, St. Luke, before he tells anything about Jesus and his disciples and the teachings of Jesus, he gives us those two contrasting images of faith and disbelief. And right there, as you say, what jumps at us is this utter childlike trust of Mary. She is ready to cooperate. She is ready to be surprised. And, of course, you know, she did not expect to be the mother of God. It's not something people are hoping for or praying for in the Old Testament. She's a daughter of Israel. She comes from that faith, from that tradition. So she expects the Messiah to come, but to be chosen to be the mother of God, virgin mother of God, that's totally unheard of. That's totally new. So she's confronted with this new reality, and she accepts it. She says yes. She entrusts herself completely to that plan, to that promise. And one of the surprising things in this yes of Mary is that she knows so little about those plans. You know, so much is still hidden. God has not revealed anything about the cross, about the crucifixion, about the sufferings that await Jesus and await Mary. And yet she says yes. I'm there. I'm completely with you, Lord. I'm following. She doesn't need to know all the details to say yes. We sometimes want to know all the details before we commit to anything, because we try to be in control. Mary, no, she trusts God. Yes, yeah. God will do what He wants to do. I just see enough of His plan to know how to collaborate, and I'm moving with it, yeah. Which reminds me of the story of Abraham in Genesis 12. Abraham would be considered the first example of faith, and God tells him, you know, Abraham, go and you and your family to the place that I will show you. So God doesn't show him that place yet. The place is very much unknown. He is told to leave everything behind and keep going to a place that God will show him. So it's a step into the unknown. In the Bible, to believe means to step into the unknown out of the obedience to God. We see it with Abraham, and of course we see it with Mary, in whom faith is realized in a perfect way. Faith as adherence, as trust, as obedience, as collaboration with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just as you're speaking about this going into the unknown, as I mentioned, I think we chatted last week, the work we do with recovering people, and these are people who have been involved in alcohol or drugs or illicit activities for perhaps years, and to tell them, to try to get them to trust you enough to follow your lead and venture into the unknown, and to trust us just enough to know that your life may get a little bit better. And as you were talking about Mary and Abraham, that's what was coming to my mind, and how much we all, I think, at some point or other, are face situations where we don't have all the details, and we may have to step out of our comfort zone in order to give God our yes and do something that perhaps we normally wouldn't do. Or He puts us in a situation that we normally aren't in. And to have that trust and allow God to be in control, for some people can be really daunting. But I think if you do it once in a while, that after a while you get the trust. You trust God that because He's done it before, that He'll do it again. And Father McKay said, or my good friend says that all the time, Jesus, will you do it again? Will you do it again? And I think experience shows us that He will do it again.
But Ken, you brought up something very interesting. That is, when you work with people in the recovery, you are their guide. You are there to tell them, do it. It's worth it. We all need guides like that. Someone who has done the walk and now is telling us, do it. So our Blessed Mother is definitely someone like that for us. We need someone whom we know personally, like we know her, and she holds us by the hand and says, let's do it, let's walk this way.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Father, we're halfway through the show already. We've reached the bottom of the hour. If anybody has a question or comment and you want to give us a call, the number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or call us toll free 888-343-2484. 888-343-2484. Father, we're just going to take a short break. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more about the book. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to In His Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Through your financial and prayerful support, you've kept us on the air for some 40 years. And we can't thank you enough. So continue to do what you can. We certainly appreciate it. Our guest today is Father Slomir Skreka, and calling all the way from California, and we're talking about his book, Icon of Trust, Mary and the Gospels of Luke and John, published by Sophia Institute Press. You can pick it up online at sophiainstitute.com. Also locally here in the Philadelphia market, visit our St. Jude shop, and I'm sure they can get it for you if they don't already have it in stock. And, Father, before we went to the break, we talked about the first part of the book about Mary's trust in God. And then because of her trust, she can lead us to trust God, right?
Yes. And your example of working with people in recovery is a great model of that. We all need someone to show us that there is another way that we can trust. And we see it with Mary, I think, in the scene of Cana in Galilee, where she stands between us and Jesus. You know, we as that wedding couple there, about to be embarrassed because we are running short of wine, of joy, of that makes for happiness in our lives. And Mary knows that. And she comes to Jesus and she tells him about our needs. And then she turns to us, the servants, and says, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. She awakens in us that trust that she herself possesses, because she's the one who says to God, let it be done to me according to your word. So the same disposition of openness, of readiness to be surprised by God, she now invites us to step into her trust by saying, do whatever he tells you. Trust his word. Trust his commands. And you will find that wine that gives joy, that what you're really missing, that new wine, the better tasting wine.
Amen. So we go from witnessing Mary's trust to following her lead and allowing her to lead us to trust God. And then the last section of the book, you talk about Mary being entrusted to us. And I think that that's one of the greatest scenes. I mean, Jesus could have said anything in his final words. In other references, we talk about people that are dying and how we hang on their last words. And, you know, one of the last things Jesus does before he takes his last breath is to give us his mother as our mother. And so Jesus entrusts his mother to us. And you talk about that as well.
Yes, and this is such a crucial piece of this whole story about Our Lady, because we can admire her, we can see how great she is, but now at the crucifixion we see that she is given to us. She is not just there for herself and for Jesus, she is there completely and fully for us. And in the Gospel of John, you know, just the fact that Jesus does that entrustment at the very last moment of his life is very significant, because the most important things are left for that key moment of his life, of his passage from this life to the next. And it is only after he gives Mary to us and gives us to Mary that the Gospel says, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, it is as if everything had to wait till that moment, till Mary belongs to us and we belong to Mary, and now everything is finished and Jesus is ready to leave. And as he leaves, he of course gifts us with his open heart. In the Gospel of John, his heart is pierced and there flow water and blood, the sacraments of the church. And he gives us his spirit as he breathes his last, as he expires, lets his spirit out. But now we are not alone. We are there with Mary to receive those gifts. And the Gospel of John seems to be saying that you have to be with Mary as your mother. You have to be in communion with her, like the beloved disciple, to be able to properly receive those gifts, to receive the redeeming death of Jesus, the sacraments, and the Spirit. That's the key passage there, that she is given to us. You know, I'm from Poland, and John Paul II was such a big influence on me as I was growing up, and still is through his theology, through his example. And then his motto, episcopal motto and the papal motto, is Totus Tuus, taken from St. Louis Grignon de Montfort, meaning, I am all yours. And these are the words directed to our Blessed Mother. I am all yours, Mary. Give me your heart. The full phrase there goes, I am all yours, I belong to you, everything I have is yours. Give me your heart. That is, we give ourselves to Mary, and then she gives us her heart. Or to put it in a different way, we cannot receive Mary unless we give ourselves to her. Unless we entrust, place ourselves in her hands. Many of us practice different ways of entrustment, of giving ourselves to Mary through different devotions, words, formulas, and it's very key, very important. But it's something that needs to be lived out daily, placing ourselves in her hands so that we can receive her heart.
Yeah, when we talked last week, I think I... had mentioned to you that, you know, Mary's played a significant role in my spiritual path, and in November it'll be 25 years since I
consecrated yourself.
Yeah, my first consecration using St. Maximilian Kolbe in the Knights of Immaculata, and you know, another great pole in St. Maximilian Kolbe and the work that he did to bring souls to Jesus through Mary, and I think that's key. I think our Protestant brothers and sisters often accuse us of making our Blessed Mother a god, when, you know, what she really does is always points to her Son and leads us to her Son and to God. And so it was, you know, in making that consecration, and for some people that can be difficult because you're like, depending on the formula, especially with Louis de Montfort, who you mentioned, where we give over all the graces of
and the marriage, yes, and everything.
Yeah, but we give over all the graces that we think that we're stockpiling for when we meet Jesus, and actually say, you know what, Blessed Mother, you take all those graces. You know better than I do how to distribute them, and to trust her to do that. For some people, can be off-putting. Like, wait a minute, I did these things to earn those graces. What do you mean I'm giving them over? And yet, she knows far better than we ever will as to how those graces need to be distributed and used in order to bring about God's kingdom, both here on earth and get us all to heaven.
Yes, and it's precisely about that letting go of our plans for holiness, our image of what holiness should be like. You know, let God do his work. He'll surprise us if we open up. Even with that little attempt to, well, it's not that little, but it is a nicely illustrated attempt to let go. You know, even the graces, Our Lady, you take care of them, you distribute them, you use them, you know better than I. Which basically goes back to this beatitude of Jesus: blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of God is theirs. The deep poverty of spirit into which Mary will invite us, so that we can remain fully open, and then the graces and gifts can flow. You can only receive when your hands are empty. Mm. If you're stockpiling, you kind of block yourself from receiving more. So, Our Lady will introduce us into this path of spiritual poverty. But you're right that some of those formulas of consecration might be difficult for some Catholics. But so many saints have done it. Look at Saint John Paul II. Look at other saints, and they're telling us, "Do it. It's worth it. It's the quickest way to holiness, and it's the easiest way to holiness to go there." Carried in the arms of our Blessed Mother.
Yeah, Father McKay often, and I think it may have been Louis de Montfort, you know, it's like, well, why do we need to, some people wonder why we need priests to go through, and why do we need to go through the Blessed Mother? Why can't we just go directly to God? And I've heard Father explain it where, you know, if we want to give an apple to the king, you know, we could go to court and hand the apple over, or maybe we could give the apple to the queen, and she'll clean it up and buff it up and put it on a silver platter and then hand it to the king. And how much more impressed will the king be when he receives it from his mother? And I love that vision of, you know, taking the little things that I do and her buffing them up and presenting them all to God. And, you know, here's what Kenny did. And so to have that person in between that is looking out for our own good. I mean, it's not like we give it over and she's taking advantage of it. She's doing it only because she wants us to follow her Son. And you mentioned our Blessed Mother and the apparition with Juan Diego and Our Lady of Guadalupe and all of her apparitions, and none of them is it, you know, praise me and look at me. Everything is, you know, listen to my Son. Everywhere she's gone, she's asked for chapels to be built and churches to be built, and those churches aren't for her; they're for her, obviously, to worship her son. So,
And these are great ways of explaining to anyone who has some doubts as to why we would need Mary. Great ways to explain: yes, we need her because we need that person in between who is there in our interest, and there at the same time, you know. We are all relational, that is, we consist of the relationships we form. And Mary is such an important part of Jesus' life because their relationship was so special, so unique. And when Jesus gives himself to us, he also gives to us the most important relationships that he has formed. The relationship with his disciples, so we have the communion of the saints, and especially the relationship with his mother. Jesus loves us so much that he gives us his heart, and he gives us everything that is dear to his heart, and the dearest thing to his heart is his mother, so she is ours as well. That is just part of the richness of love. Mary should not be excluded from our Christian experience because she's such a big part of who Jesus is, and he wants us to enjoy him and everything that is dear to him.
Very good. So I have to be honest, when we talked last week, we didn't talk a lot about what you do in terms of your day-to-day life, and I only realized it today when I flipped to the back of the book and saw the little bio here, and it sounds like you're rather busy out there in Camarillo. It sounds like you not only teach, but you're also the Director of Human Formation and the Vice Rector. So it sounds like you have a few hats to wear while you're there, huh?
Yes, we need our Blessed Mother all the more, you know?
Yeah. So from your vantage point there with the work in the seminary, how do you see things these days in this crazy world of ours?
You know, I'm very hopeful for the church and for priestly vocations. Because I see, you know, in California, in the secular and aggressively secular environment, the words of St. Paul becoming true, that is, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So God is pouring his grace into the hearts of young men and calling them out of all kinds of paths in life, sometimes very promising careers, sometimes out of very difficult upbringing, and he's calling them through the gift of Eucharistic adoration. That's where they encounter Jesus. For some, it's the prayer of the rosary when they discover it. For some, it seems that the call comes out of the blue, you know, they did not expect it, and there it came, and they receive it. And to see God at work very much at this time in the church, calling young men to pursue the call to the priesthood is very encouraging. And then to be able to accompany them in the seminary formation is a great privilege. And at the same time, to share with them who Mary is for me, and she's indispensable to any priestly vocation. You cannot be a good priest, you cannot live a healthy celibate life without deep relationship with Mary, the Mother of Jesus, and our Mother. So my vantage point is, I would say, very hopeful in the sense that I see a lot of God's work, beautiful work here in the church in Southern California.
Very good. Having been brought up in Poland, what was it that drew you to the United States?
Some members of my family migrated to the United States, and then as I was growing up back in the 90s and discerning the call to the priesthood, back in the 1990s, we had so many vocations in Poland. We were very blessed back then, so I was invited to join St. Cyril and Methodius Seminary in Orchard Lake, Michigan, that formed priests for Polish ethnic parishes in the United States. But of course, many dioceses were open to receive seminarians from St. Cyril just for any kind of ministry, not just with ethnic Polish ethnic parishes. That was briefly my path.
Okay. It's interesting because I had a son that went to the University of South Carolina, and the Newman Center there was a great priest who also was from Poland. His name escapes me right now. I only got down there a handful of times and got the Mass there. But another great Pole from that came over, and
great to hear that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And the spirituality that he shares and you share and the energy that you have, it's I think is critical, and especially the position that you're in now, being able to train priests. You can hear it in your voice, your love for the Blessed Mother and the love for Jesus, and how you can transmit that to the folks, that especially the men that God's put in your path, and allowing you to bring along and hopefully one day serve the church.
And you know, since you brought it up, I think it's very providential for me to say now, with all your listeners there, please pray for vocations and pray for seminarians and pray for priests who work at various seminaries, because your prayers are crucial.
Yeah, and the evil one in, you know, we can kind of see it all around us now. As you said, you know, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, and Lord knows there's plenty of sin that is abounding. And I think the last thing that he wants to see is our seminaries full again. And I can only imagine what it's like, the temptations and the questions and what have you for our seminarians as they go down this path, and you know, having to not only, you know, do the battle with their studies, but to do the spiritual battle that must torment them as they go through.
That is very true, and at the same time, I think every priest will tell you that we are so loved by our people and supported by our people in our parishes, that it's the faith of our people, you know, how they take care of us, that's so encouraging, and we see it at the seminary as well. We receive so much support from our community, from our board of trustees. We'll have a big gala this coming Saturday. We are expecting a couple hundred people just to come together and help us out here at St. John's Seminary. So that's very encouraging, very uplifting to see that support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great. Father, we have about 5 minutes left. I've covered most of what I wanted to talk to you about, and certainly the book. Again, our guest is Father Slomir Skreka, and the book is Icon of Trust, Mary in the Gospels of Luke and John, published by Sophia Institute. If you were here at the beginning, I did not get through the whole book, Father. I will, but in the just the inspiration that it gave me, and the new ideas that were brought out of the book, I think everybody should get go ahead and pick up a copy of this. But just in the last couple of minutes, is there anything you wanted to get to that we haven't gotten to yet?
You know, I'm thinking of today's feast, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Today we look at the cross as something exalted. We don't look so much at the agony of Christ as the effects of the cross. How the cross touches the broken places in our hearts, the wounded places, the dark places, how it is through the cross, through God's humiliation and suffering, that our humiliations, our suffering, our pain is transformed, truly transformed. So whenever we are confronted with the cross, I would say to everyone and to myself, you know, don't look at the cross by yourself. Hold on to Mary. Invite her to come close to you, and with her approach that mystery, and she'll teach you the wisdom of the cross, how to pass through those difficult moments, the moments when we seem to lose all hope, and how to find trust in God and confidence in His redeeming action at those moments in our lives.
All right. Father, I was really looking forward to the show, especially since we had the conversation last week. I've enjoyed what I've read of the book so far and look forward to finishing it. And for our guests, or for our listeners, our guest today has been Father Slomir Skretka. And one last time, it's Icon of Trust, Mary in the Gospels of Luke and John, published by Sophia Institute. Go out and get your copy now. Father, I can't thank you enough. I know you're a busy guy. And
I want to thank you for your ministry, for everything you do, how you're reaching out to people as they are fighting the traffic at 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. So, and bringing them this beautiful message about our faith and about our Blessed Mother. Thank you for that.
No, thank you. And I assure you, our traffic is nothing compared to what you experience out there. But no, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to getting in touch with you again at some point.
Thank you. God bless you and God bless you all.
Yeah, I was just going to say, can we get your blessing, Father, before
Absolutely.
We let you go?
Of course. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and stay in our Blessed Mother's arms.
Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you.
God bless. Bye.
Bye-bye now. You can just sense it in his voice. It's maybe not excitement, but the energy that he has for our Blessed Mother and our Lord, and it makes an impression on people, and we too can have that same impression. We can by sharing our faith, by sharing our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with the Blessed Mother, sharing that with friends, with family. I had a couple of opportunities over the last week. And thanks to those who have reached out on the passing of my mother, and just some of the neat things that happened over the last week or so, and the opportunities to be able to evangelize that I never would have anticipated, and the impact that it had on some people already, and just by the things that they've said and what they witnessed. In particular, when Father went to visit my mom about 13 hours or so before she passed, and we had extreme unction or last rites, and the impression that had on my my sister and my brother-in-law, and even my wife who was with me, and you know, all the way through, it was a week in between the her passing and the actual funeral, and how blessed I was to. I have four priests and a deacon on the altar, and you know, those that listen know my, you know, if you know my background in recovery, and 35 years ago I'm not even going to church, and then to turn around and have four priests and a deacon on the altar, all of which have played an important role in my life, and we're just great, and you know, people were saying to me, how did this happen? And especially to a guy like me, there's a couple of people that have known me for years and years. And it's all providential. It's all God. It's got very little to do with anything that was original with me. Certainly I've done things over the years that, you know, helped to put me in situations to meet them and meet so many others that I'm blessed to run around with these days, even people that I've lost touch with that had an impact on my spiritual life. And so it all culminated this week with the funeral and the luncheon afterwards, and the conversations that I was able to have with people were ones that I probably wouldn't have been able to have before now, and because of her passing and what they experienced in being a part of it, and the questions that they asked gave me an opportunity to show off a little bit of what I've learned over the years. And I guarantee you, it's not a whole lot of original stuff. I pass along things that have been passed on to me, and that's kind of how it works. And that's what we do here at Innocent Catholic Radio. We take what we've learned and try to pass it on to you, so you too can draw closer to Jesus, especially through his Blessed Mother. I can't thank you enough for being with us today. I can't thank Patrick enough for the work he does each Wednesday and making sure the voices get out. And I look forward to being with you again in 2 weeks. We're not going to be here next week. There'll be a recording, but when I get back, I look forward to it. Until then, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.